see the bulls. Why would you be so slow?
Why?
Spitting so fast when I'm going to the hole. They say I got a D-Rose flow.
Yeah.
Banging with a body when I'm going for the rebound. Did I almost lose ya? Steady getting with them when I'm going to the rhythm in the paint like Carlos Boozer. How your two fouls came. I kick a new style, man. I can rip with a flow from the lip. They compare me to Pip like
this. The famed Twista track with Carlos Boozer. Is Boozer on the track? Is he coming up? No, you got it. There's Noah. That's right. There was a great Sam Panionovich. You got to know this. There's a great Carlos Boozer when he was in town. He had a rap album, right? Or a couple of songs that he put together. Here.
Booze out, man.
Now I understand. Now I was trying to figure out where the Bulls went wrong, and I think this jogged my memory that it may have been Carlos Boozer. We didn't have these problems when Booze was in town, right?
That's incredible.
Sam Panionovich here from WGN Radio Sports. Huge day in Chicago sports news as the Sun-Times is reporting that Joakim Noah is telling teammates he will not return to the Chicago Bulls this summer. Now, that's already been refuted a little bit from a couple players. I didn't say that.
Well, and a couple media outlets as well. So there's a riffraff now. Who's saying what? What is it going to come down to? But the fact that you have these questions is the problem.
Right.
I mean, Joakim Noah has been here since 2007. First-round pick out of Florida, 9th pick overall. He's been one of the most loved players, I think, by the fan base. And you can look at it physically, and we've talked about this for months, maybe even over a year, about how the body's just not the same.
Well, he fought through some injuries. He only played a couple games this last season, right? I mean, he played really
29
yeah.
last year.
You know, and he didn't seem to fit when he did play, and he might have been playing hurt, but he didn't seem to fit in that sort of run-and-gun, open, wide-open Fred Hoiberg system. He's a much more Coach Thibodeau, like banging bodies down underneath kind of play.
I think you just sort of started to hint at it, and we're going to try and do the best we can to sort of examine why this has happened. You said the word Thibodeau. I mean, you look around that roster, and his guys are just boom, boom, boom. They're dropping like flies. You know, of that team, the 2011-2012 team that was number one overall seed, this is pre-Rose injury.
This is when he blew it out in the first round of the playoffs.
There was only three guys left from that team.
Really?
And it's Rose, Noah, Gibson. So if you lose Noah, we're talking about, I mean, Justin, this isn't a long period of time.
These guys are
just getting jettisoned out, and then the coach gets jettisoned out. So this whole roster rebuild, it didn't just start when they fired Tibbs. This was sort of like a plan. You know, general manager Gar Forman, he's working with Paxson, no doubt about it, John Paxson. They're trying to rebuild sort of on the fly, and you know, the bottom fell on at the end of the Tibbs era. But Noah, like you said, is a Tibbs guy, and he doesn't fit in this new system. Unfortunately, he had a knee injury at the end of the Tibbs.
You're a sports guy. You hang out with the sports guys. Where does a rumor like this come from? I mean, obviously there's some merit to it because it's pretty obvious as we talk about the reasons why. But, I mean, is Joe Colley and the Sun-Times writers, do they have sort of relationships with the players where they're like, here, don't, you didn't hear it from me, but Joakim just called me and said he ain't coming back?
Good question. It did say an unnamed source, so immediately that gets people to second-guess it. I will give Joe a little bit of credit, though. I think that it's true. I think that he looks around that roster and looks in that locker room, and I don't think that he thinks they can win. Now, whether he said it or not, if somebody in Joe's camp relayed the message, you know, the agent came out and the Tribune reported that the agent is in contact with the Bulls every day. Well, of course. I mean, if Joakim Noah is a free agent, I mean, of course.
And the agent's not doesn't want this out because then it makes it
leverage
easier.
Leverage is gone.
Yeah, right.
So you have to sort of shine up that dirty penny and say, oh, no, no, we're talking, oh, yeah, we'd love to stay in Chicago.
But it is kind of, a little bit unusual for a player to announce.
Right, the question
he ain't
is, why
back.
Does this come out?
Right.
I don't think maybe it's not 100% true, but there's a lot of truth in what is being said in the piece, including the loyalty in the front office, which is very important to the Reinsdorf family. You know, Gar Forman is really good friends with Michael Reinsdorf, and the Bulls charities are led by the wife of Gar Forman and the wife of Michael Reinsdorf.
Well, that just plays to the loyalty.
And,
of the organization.
You start putting puzzle pieces together, and You know.
Now, to be fair, for the management structure at the Chicago Bulls, the goal was to they realized that they weren't, in their estimation, meaning it's not exact science. But their thought was, we need to play a game that's closer to what they're doing in Golden State, where we can spread the floor. We have some of the, you know, with Derrick Rose, we have a penetrating guard. We got an opportunity to kick out. We've got guys that are supposed to hit their shots, and Dougie Buckets and, you know, the other guys.
And Miritich.
Yeah, the Miritich. This is the style. We don't want to do this slow it down half court that Coach Tibbs gets us to the second round of the playoffs and we can't beat LeBron. So with that being said, it's not out of the question, nor is it a bad management move to move a Noah or to not re-sign him.
No, and you'll miss everything that he's brought you. I don't know if you'll never see, I mean, I don't know the last good center before Noah. I mean, back to Bill Cartwright, I guess Luke Longley. So it was a while. You know, there's a gap there between those players and Joakim Noah. But, you know, the old school big man is becoming a thing of the past.
Well, you're seeing what I love about it, and we're seeing right now in Golden State, we're even seeing it a little bit in the other side. But, you know, those big men in Oklahoma City, Adams and Cantor, those guys, you know, are sort of bucking the trend that we're talking about. Golden State shooting threes, you're going to win. Those guys are actually changing the course of that series. They beat the Spurs doing the same thing. Big men still have a place in the NBA.
They have to be used the right way, though. And I think, you know, Golden State last year ran into a great situation where I don't think the scouting was really there. I don't think teams understood exactly how good some of those players were. And the hardest thing to do in sports is repeat. And I think a lot of teams last year tried to kind of mirror what Golden State did and try and get up and down the floor with them and shoot a lot of shots, and that sort of played into their hands. This year, the Thunder, give Billy Donovan a lot of credit with Oklahoma City. He has utilized the players, like you said, that are bigger, stronger. They're winning the rebound war. They're getting up and down the floor. And if you miss a three-point shot, you've got Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. You know, these guys are flying up and down the floor, superstar caliber players. And in other words, Oklahoma City isn't succumbing to what Golden State wants to do. They're going to do their own thing, and they think that with their plan, they can win.
Well, let's continue the conversation, talk about the Bulls and what we think we might see this summer. We're gonna have...
I don't know. Maybe. Could be premature.
Sam Fanionovich is here from WGN Radio Sports. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Carlos. Mike, check. One, two. Loser. Dream it, believe it, do it. Let's go.
Now, this is Boozer.
Already know I cross them over, take them to the hole. Look back, thank God. Look forward, trust God. That's why when I'm in the paint, you know I go hard. Might go baseline one time and abuse ya. Run back down the court like you know it was Boozer. I used to be another little fella with some hoop dreams. Now I got the game laced up. Shoot string.
I'm on a winning streak.
There you go.
I'm not losing.
Carlos Boozer.
I think I remember the name of this album. Is it Full Court Press? Is that the name of the album? It was some weak name like that. Full Court Press, yo. Like, oh, wow.
I think we're figuring it out here with Sam Fanionovich. What the Bulls are missing is Carlos Boozer. They're missing that guy who's like who can really complain to the refs.
That's
what he's really good at.
It's a great transition because at the end of Boozer's career here, he used to always yell at Noah to get the rebound. You remember that?
He wouldn't even move.
Grab it, Joe! Joe!
Hey, Joe! Oh, man.
Joe, grab it, Joe.
My bad.
He would, the cameras,
if you're ever at the United Center, that's what you would hear.
Well, no, because they used to put microphones under backboard, and they kind of, you know, so it's built into the basket, and nationally televised games, you would hear Boozer, get it, Joe! Yeah. Joe! You know, it's like right over Boozer's fingertips.
There's that. There's the my bad. And then there's also the, what?
Me. I didn't touch him. And then I didn't touch him.
Yeah, Taj. It was just comedy. So the rap thing makes sense, I guess. But yeah, grab it, Joe.
Right. So let's talk about the Bulls' summer plans here. If Joakim Noah is really not coming back to the Bulls, what does that do for their cap space? Because, you know, I guess I'm seeing that the Bulls are going to have some money here.
Yeah, and the salary cap's going up. I'll pull the deals up here in a second, but a lot of money going to come off the books because you think about, you know, down the road next year, Derrick Rose gone, Pau Gasol gone, Joakim Noah, he's going to want, you know, I mean, he signed a 5-year deal for $60 million, so that's $12 million a year. His camp sees the cap going up, so he's going to want somewhere in that realm, but that's off the book. So you've got room for a max contract. Problem with that is nobody comes here that's a max contract player. And year after year after year, whether it's, you know, ever since Jordan left, you know, Tim Duncan was rumored at one point, Tracy McGrady, you know, the Bulls courted those guys when they were
trades with
coming
Kobe
up.
Bryant and Carmelo
Anthony. Well, I'm talking just you're a free agent. Yeah, right, you get to pick your spot. 2010, it was Wade and Bosch and LeBron. Then it was LeBron again. Then it was Carmelo, and they were, the Bulls were in the mix. End of the day, they don't come here. So you're stuck. And, you know, to be in a position where they're at right now where you're not good enough to win a title, obviously you missed the playoffs, you're not good enough to win a title, but you were too good to be bad enough to get a good pick because you want to be in the top
three, four, five picks.
I mean, they're picking 14th, so they're going to get some bum, and, you know, it's going to be the same mess. They've got to get creative here.
All right, so let me ask you, so the drama that is happening at the UC, you've got Joakim Noah saying he's not coming back. We saw...
Allegedly.
We saw right at the beginning or the end of the season turmoil with Jimmy Butler. Is he the leader? Is he not? There was question. Gar Forman said it's not out of the question. We would trade him. It seemed to hurt his feelings. Then we saw that Jimmy Butler was the spokesperson or the representative for the Bulls at the draft. Is everything okay with Jimmy Butler and Bulls management now?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because I could see with my own eyes, not only have I been told, but you could see sort of, you know, Jimmy Butler trying to blossom out of his shell. And I think some of the players sort of didn't take offense to it, but they were like, wait a minute, you know, we've been here longer. We, you know, like there's been reports that Noah and Butler were about to literally go after each other. That's how bad it had gotten. But Joe hurt his shoulder in January and it didn't play the rest of the way. So I think there was some opposition. That's probably the best word to Jimmy sort of just saying,
Ascending,
he said it. Right. You know, like, I'm the leader, I have to lead.
Right, but it's one thing to say and one thing to
do.
Well,
which he later came back and said that, you know, I learned that I have to keep my mouth shut and I just have to lead, which is what leaders do. They don't talk about leading, they lead. To answer your question, I think that he already had the key to the car. I think, you know, management, by giving him that max contract, said, you're the guy. I mean, you don't pay somebody like that to play second fiddle. So, you know, he gets that five-year contract. He thinks that he's in charge, and now, I don't know what he's been told, but you can only imagine that you know, this has been in play for a while here, where down the road, this is your team.
Okay, so that brings us to the third of the three amigos, Derrick Rose. Now, there have been reports out in the last couple of weeks, I've been watching just sort of the debrief for the season, that this terrible, terrible season, that they said Derrick Rose is the best statistical player and probably the best potential player that the Bulls have on their roster.
Well, you can shape stats.
So the question is Derrick Rose, is it still Derrick Rose's team? I mean, can he coexist with Jimmy Butler? There's so much drama around those two guards. And, you know, are we seeing the twilight of a Derrick Rose run here in Chicago, since this is his last year, that big contract? And that usually means if it's not working out, he's gone at the trade deadline. If he's not gone at the trade deadline, he's out next summer.
The fact that you have to ask that question is just depressing in general.
Right.
Because who knows what conversation we're having here in 2016 if Derrick Rose doesn't get hurt. You know, I mean, that's really been the ever-plaguing issue with Derrick Rose. He just can't stay healthy, and the body's betrayed him. And I think mentally he doesn't do things he used to do, because in the back of his mind he, you know, could picture himself on crutches again. And I think it's changed the way he's played. Is it still his team? As long as he's there, he's on tier one. I mean, I don't think it's anybody's one team. That's really not how it works anymore. You know, one guy doesn't have complete control over a locker room outside of maybe Cleveland, you know, where LeBron, you know, he's the mayor of the city essentially and can do whatever he wants. But, you know, you're looking at a top three leadership group of Rose, Butler, and Noah. Problem was, Noah was taken out of the lineup, couldn't stay on the floor, so he's sort of been vacuumed out of that situation. And now you've got two ball-heavy guards who each need the ball to play well. It's not a good mix X's and O's-wise. So I don't think I never bought into the fact that they didn't like each other. They just don't seem
they don't play the same game
well
right.
together. Yeah.
Well, I kind of made a joke earlier in the show about Derrick Rose. You know, the refs don't seem to give much respect to Rose. He has the same kind of game where he slashes to the hoop and he gets there and there's so much more. Oh, the ball's loose, even though he ran into the center. You know, and that's what kind of effectively got him hurt. But early in his career when he was making those moves, it seemed like every time he got to the hole, there was a foul called and he got to the line. There were some times in this season where he'd make the same – he wasn't get to the line at all in a game. Like zero attempts. Like do we see Derrick Rose having to change his game or will his style of play get him back to the free throw line?
The way that his body has sort of – I guess changed over time. It's always going to be like a restrictor plate on a boat, and you know it's going to you know restrict how fast you can go and some of the things you can do well. And he's never going to be the same player. I mean, you have a couple knee injuries, and then try and do what he used to be able to do—fly through the air. I think he dunked twice last year. And you know the Derrick Rose of old—you're picturing flying over somebody every other night, if not every night.
Right.
So I think physically, mentally. He's just not the same player. He wants to play well, but, I mean, does he have to reinvent himself? He'd like to. I don't know if he's willing to do it, though. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money no matter what he does. Some team's going to give him some cash. He's still making millions of bucks from, you know, all the sponsors he has, so he's going to be fine. I don't know. I'm curious because nobody has this answer, and whoever acts like they do outside of that Rose family, they're lying.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows. That thing is such a cocoon. You can't get in there. You can't penetrate that camp because they've been burned so many times before. I mean, there's like three guys on the national media that like have the Rose family, you know, on speed dial. Otherwise, you just don't get in there.
Right. Mike Wilbon. Someone like that, right?
There's a couple others.
Yeah.
I'll let you keep guessing. It's not Pete Zimmerman, that's for sure. I know, yeah. Who?
They never, yeah, I'm always like, dear Derek.
Yeah.
Dear Derek.
Well, if you weren't in before he got hurt, you're not getting
you're not in now.
I mean, as far as the big scoops.
Oh, great.
Could it be Stephen A. Smith?
Well, he thinks he's in everybody.
Now, let me tell you, I just got off the phone with a very good friend of Derrick Rose, and he told me specifically that Rose is not happy in Chicago anymore.
He said Chicago. That's how he says Chicago.
Stephen A. Smith.
That was good. Useless. That was good. Ugh. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Sam Panionovic. We got to talk Golden State and Cleveland. Let's talk some real NBA.
The NBA champs are so upset they're kicking players below the belt.
Oh man.
I've been Steph Curry with the shot, been cooking with the sauce, Chef Curry with the pot, boy. 360 with the wrist, boy. I've been Steph Curry with the shot, been cooking with the sauce. Chef
to download Curry here on WGN Radio, Steph Curry with the shot, Sam Panionovic with the analysis. You like that, huh?
That's shooting around, actually.
I think that was what Drake originally said. Yeah. He was like,
I've been
Steph
in
Curry
the gym.
With the shot, Panionovic with the analysis.
Nothing more depressing than not being able to jump anymore, though. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, right.
I can't jump.
The last time you jumped.
I used to be able to get up there, I promise. Trust me, I'm not bragging because what I'm about to say next is embarrassing. I can barely even like touch the rim anymore.
Sam, on Saturday morning, I had a little bit of time, and I'm like, I went across to the to the hoops, you know, they had a court there, and I had a basketball, and I'm like, there was one guy on each. In the morning, it's not full on; it's just one guy on each thing. So I'm like, I shoot the three.
You're a lefty, aren't you?
Nail it, yeah.
Yeah, you're a lefty.
I shoot left, so I'm like, whew, nail it, like swish, like that's what. Did a little move, hit it right off the perfect off the glass, like a nice little fade. Came back, hit another one. I was like, man. And then I got tired. And then it was like
after three shots
I said, I'm like, I mean, I'll shoot some free throws and see what my percentage is, you know, like shoot 10. I hit one, and then I kept going, and it got worse. I mean, there was a stretch where I was like 0 for 20. Like, I was just like, all right. And that's when more people showed up, so I'm like, now I'm stressed and I'm this pressure, the person's looking at me, I'm like, it's just I was something wrong with my elbow.
It really gives you a good appreciation of how awesome these players in the NBA are. I mean, those are some of the best athletes,
right?
In the world. Hockey athletes impress me, you know, especially a guy like Duncan Keith, who's skating, you know, 30 minutes a night in every big game. Football players, some of the guys, I think that's more strength than speed, if anything, you know, and body, you know, maintenance. The receivers are fast, but I mean, basketball is so fun to watch.
I'm
especially
amazed
now.
By linebackers. Linebackers are always like, oh, you have to get past huge linemen.
Yeah.
And be able to catch the speedy running back. Like, that's the hardest position to play, I think.
Back to, did you ever plan a chain net hoops? We had a chain net at the park when we grew up, and there was nothing like the sound of that chain net. I wish I had a chain. I used to carry a chain. I don't do that anymore. The sound of that chain net, brings back memories.
All right, let's talk about the what we're seeing in the NBA right now. Yeah. The two series we're seeing, the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was a playoff game. The game five, huge game here for Toronto to go back to Cleveland. Right now in the fourth quarter with 10 to go, Cleveland has a 102-64 lead.
Yeah, LeBron James woke up. LeBron was like, I think I'm going to try tonight.
But I think this one of the problems I have with a 40-point game like this is that, it tells me is like, I'm not sure the Toronto Raptors are supposed to be here. Right. And I'm not saying that to just, disparage the Toronto Raptors organization, but it really does feel, and I know I'm biased, but it at the end of last year, the firing of Coach Thibodeau was the concept that Fred Hoiberg was going to lift this team past the second round into the third round. We should be being blown out by 40 points.
Yeah, maybe it'd be 30. I wonder who would be hurt by now on the Bulls roster. Somebody would be hurt, and maybe Hoiberg might roll an ankle. I think there were four really, really good teams this year in the NBA, and three of them are left. So it's about what I expected. Maybe you could throw San Antonio into the mix out west, but Cleveland, the only really good team in the East. They're going to be in the finals. They're going to probably beat them in game six because this loss has just broken their hearts. Toronto, I mean, they're down 40
points.
I mean, you're getting your ass kicked. You're not going to come back from that. No. It's just not going to happen. And then you've got the Thunder and the Warriors, which I think has been the best playoff series.
What's happening there? Because, Pete and I are on the air. We don't get a chance to watch the games. Golden State has just a historic run. I mean, breaking the record, having the most wins in the regular season, it was a foregone conclusion that they were maybe going to have a struggle against the San Antonio team that didn't even make it there. The Oklahoma City took them out. What's happening, and why are the Golden State Warriors struggling?
You're going to beat Golden State by getting up the floor, taking away offensive rebounds, and if you could turn them over, do that. Because they get sloppy with the ball. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they've been turning the ball over. And that's been pressure from these long, active bodies that the Thunder have employed. They're winning the rebound war, the Thunder are. And they've got two of the best players, maybe two top five players in the league on the same team.
Well, they were talking about one of the hidden gems, and because we had this terrible, terrible comparison of the Golden State Warriors and the 96 Bulls.
Yeah, which was
dumb. They talked about the Golden State Warriors playing sort of sneaky defense. They're a good defensive team. But when I watched
metrically they are, but
Westbrook to the hole every time.
Throw the regular season out. It's over. It's over. You're not playing the Pelicans anymore. You've got to beat the Thunder 4 out of 7 times. And right now, the Thunder are playing the best basketball at the most opportune time, and it's been their two best players. I don't care. Steven Adams has been good, and Cantor's been all right. And, Roberson's not actually been that bad at all. But Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are outplaying the star players for Golden State. I almost said San Francisco. They play in Oakland. I'm so confused now. But Oklahoma City, who used to be Seattle, by the way, is playing very, very well.
Now, okay, so I heard on ESPN today where one of the analysts said there's no 10% chance, there's no way that Golden State can come back. But, I'm not very good at math, but the Golden State Warriors don't lose at home. They have the best road record, obviously, with winning 73 games in the regular season. It's not out of the question that they tied their laces tighter and they win three straight in the series.
I heard one analyst put it so eloquently. I think it's an uphill battle for Golden State, but if there's one team that can do it, I think it's them.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay, did you just pick both sides of the equation? They just don't seem. Put it this way: this team was playing with the thing I like to call swagger.
They don't have it.
It's gone.
And that's a big part of basketball.
It's gone. It's a huge part of their game. And when they're feeling confident, last round, Curry says, I'm back. I'm here. He pumped his chest.
And, right.
Well, I mean, he is hurt. I still believe the MCL is not where it should be and where he would like it to be. But they're getting outplayed and outclassed in the Western Conference Finals. So if they lose to Oklahoma City, I mean, that's a really good team.
Okay, but to play devil's advocate, two of the final three games are in Golden State or in Oakland. That's a tough. I mean, Oklahoma State's won there, so that's not an issue. But you know, the record is pretty impeccable.
I think the Thunder win it in six.
Okay.
Now, you know, did I say that before the series with you? No. No. You just have to take my word for it.
I was making jokes about sweep. I thought Golden
State. I didn't
State
think they were going to repeat. I never thought. It's just so hard to do. And when you think about, you know, a very small, finesse-y type team that relies on a lot of shots from behind the three-point line, it's hard to repeat that success and win titles. It just really is. I mean, they don't – yeah, the game has changed and there's a lot more jump shots, but that sustained shooting at such a high level, eventually you just cool off. And they've cooled off in this series, and look out, here's Russell Westbrook dunking on your head.
What's the issue? We'll take a quick break after, so quick answer. What is Draymond Green doing? I mean, is he frustrated, so he's kicking people below the belt? What is happening? Because he's done it twice now.
He didn't do it on purpose, so that's what he said. It was an accident to
he
kick
seems,
somebody in
I
the
mean,
grind.
Watching him, and not just those situations, the ones where he actually kicked below the belt, but you've seen him in this series get a little like chippy when he makes a basket. He's got to run into the guy. Is Draymond Green? I don't watch enough Golden State Warrior basketball. Is that his persona? Is he sort of a troublemaker?
He's a tough guy from, you know, inner city Michigan, and he's always played with that chip on his shoulder. So I think the composure is starting to come out of it. Remember the '90s Knicks?
Yeah,
good players, but if you got him down, or like John Starks was a psycho, you know what I'm saying? if he was losing and wasn't synced in and what he was supposed to do, I mean, he went after Reggie Miller's throat. So, I mean, if you get the wrong guy with a little bit of a cold streak and they're not playing well, you can flip that switch and they can turn into somebody different.
Sam Panionovich is here. Let's take a quick break. And if we can, just for the last remaining couple minutes of this hour, I'd love to talk White Sox baseball.
Can we talk this much sports in a row? I don't know.
I know. I'm
too much sports.
The audience is like, what is this?
Talk about something else.
No, not at all. I want to talk about the White Sox. I know, right? We'll tell Sam Panionovich, WGN Radio Sports. Stay with us.
And when it comes to baseball, we have two favorite clubs. Whoever plays the Cubs, we're the South Side Irish as our father.
So interesting that we've chosen to talk about the White Sox losing instead of the Cubs winning, but hey, that's Chicago. This is a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Sam Panionovich with me tonight talking sports. You were at the cell today. As a Sox fan, you kind of saw a little bit of the shine wearing off about two or three weeks ago. It was that series in Boston where you're like, you know what? We're not winning series. And it seems besides a sweep of the Twins, which has kind of kept that fever going, we've lost every series in pretty much May.
They came home and went on a 3-7 homestand. So,
that's not good.
And, you know, for all the talk all the time, and people always ask me, and Matt Bubala, who works here and, you know, does his show here, he was filling in for Patty, and he was making fun of Sox fans because they don't show up. And I'm like, look, they're just not going to commit until they know the team is really good for real. And right now, you still don't know that. They had a really good April, and it's been a pretty bad May. So here you are, still in first place, but your lead has gone from, I believe, 5 games now down to a half game in about 2 weeks.
And a half game over the Indians and probably like 2 games over the Royals. I mean, and the Tigers.
It's tightened up.
Yeah, it's tightened up. And that's good. I mean, that's good for baseball and it's good for baseball fans. It's just not as dominant as it was at the beginning of the season. I mean, there was a point when the White Sox and the Cubs are the first to 20 games. I mean, what are the Sox have 25 wins now? 27?
27 and 21.
But that, I mean, there was a time, I mean, when they hit 20, they were 20-8 or something like that. So they had a tremendous beginning.
Well, they've lost 11 of 15. They've lost 5 series in a row, and they're not scoring runs.
Why? Is it because they're not scoring runs?
The offense has been so bad. And, you know, they'll get guys on first and second, you know, nobody out, and they just won't score a run. Or, you know, somebody strikes out, bases loaded, one out, next guy flies out. It's just been, you know, the small ball type stuff. I think, again, like in years past, they're reliant on the fireworks, on the home runs for the Abreus.
And they're not getting it,
Frazier's leading the American League, I think, now with 14.
But Abreu's, he's got 6 home runs. He's had a couple of great games here where not productive game, 3-for-4, 3-for-4, no runs, no RBIs, but he is at least coming out of his shell. I mean, his batting average went down to like 230.
I think it's 258 now.
after two huge games.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's still early. It really is.
Sam, as a Sox fan, though, the thing that I notice about the team is, yes, they're not scoring runs, but then it shifted to then the bullpen imploded. I think it was in that Texas series or whatever. It was just like, what are you guys doing? There was a game in Texas where they gave up like 7 runs.
In one inning.
And yeah, and it was like that could – and they were up like 6, and they should have won that game. Since then, it's been downhill. And
I remember fighting people almost on Twitter because they acted like the season was over. Like some fans were like, oh, it's over.
We win.
You know, it was – no, when they gave up, oh, fire Robin, you know, season's over.
They may have been right here.
Well, I don't think one loss in the middle of May, actually early May, is going to.
Well, and now we're seeing Chris Sale and Jose Quintana.
Lost one game.
No, I know,
lost
but I'm just
game.
Saying this week, and this is not me. I mean, I heard it today as well.
That's the problem.
Starting pitching is not going well.
You're getting to the point here. That's the first time all season that Sale and Quintana have lost back to back games, and you know, Sox fans almost expect them to win every game. I mean, Chris Sale's gonna lose a couple games.
He's amazing start to the season.
You know, he had a rough game. He got pinged around. I'm sure he's gonna be ready to go next game. Quintana, you know, they got 3 runs for him today. They got 1 run last time. They don't score for him when he's on the mound. The problem is the back half. You know, somebody said that, you know, they need 2, maybe 3 more starters. Yeah, so do a lot of teams. You know, like, well, they need a 4 starter. A lot of teams would like to have 4 good starters. Nobody has 5 good starters. You just kind of work with what you have. And right now, they're strong 1-2. They've got a good guy in the works at the 3 spot. And then you've got guys in the 4-5 holes that just have to give you a chance. And their last 2, they did. The 2 before, they didn't. So,
all right, Sammy, let me ask you, because Rick Hahn kind of mentioned this in passing.
I'm going to make a big move.
I'm going to make a big move.
That was a direct quote.
What do you think that move is? Is it hitting? Is it pitching? What's out there right now in the rumor mill in baseball that is available for a White Sox?
The 2 names that I've heard that are the most sexy names that are being bantied about right now: Carlos Gonzalez, who's a left-handed outfielder from Colorado. Sox have money to absorb that contract. It's a big contract. They've been trying to dish him out for a while now because they're sort of like rebuilding.
Yeah, they're not. He's getting older. Yeah,
they're not going to win. I think you look at the standings right now. Colorado currently in 3rd, 3 games under. They're not going to. They're not going to make the playoffs. And then the pitcher that has been talked about is Sonny Gray,
who's on the DL.
Oakland.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's a guy that, you know, he's going to be back.
He's had a tough year. He has not played well.
Yeah. And they always said, you know, if 2 organizations get rid of somebody, don't take them. Oakland and Tampa. Like, if those 2 teams are going to trade this guy, he's done. Because those
they
two,
don't
like,
trade.
Well, no, the guys, they're trading them for a reason, because those two teams
are so smart. Yeah.
The payrolls are so small.
Right.
So you've got to find value.
Yeah, but
I feel like
every pitcher that's pitched in the Oakland system turns out to be a star somewhere. Tim Hudson, remember? Tim Hudson was an A.
Well, he was a star more in Oakland. So was Zito. So was Mulder.
Heron? But, wasn't Dan Heron at Oakland A?
Right. But they all kind of got traded and then went down.
Oh, I see.
And Barry Zito signed that deal for 7 years.
What about 100? Zito? Let's get him back.
Yeah. Is he throwing 70 still? The curveball was like 42. He just kind of like...
Well, I think it's... I mean, I hope it's not too late. I mean, the White Sox need
They're still in first. And with 2 wildcard teams now, more teams are in it longer. Remember that.
Right.
You've got 2 wildcard spots that will force a 1-game playoff. So more teams sort of think that they have a chance, and they're going to play it out longer.
It's not going to get any easier, though. The White Sox schedule has been horrific. The month of May was all playoff teams.
I know
now,
you've got to go to
news.
I was hoping
it was going to be the Twins for 2.5 weeks.
I know you've got news, but 3 at the Royals, actually 4 at the Royals, then 3 at the Mets, then 3 at the Tigers, and then the Nationals come to town, and then the Royals are back.
Oh, no.
So of your next 16, you've got pretty much all first-place teams and then the Tigers.
Maybe they'll play to the height of their competition. Sam Panionovic, WGN Radio Sports. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for coming in. I know you're filling in tomorrow morning for Dave Ennett.
I will be
so
here.
So how about that? He's burning it on both ends. Sam, thanks for coming in.
You
man.
Got it.